find Jesus. When I went look, you ain't, Jesus was never lost. He found you. And when he found you and he saved you and done all of that and brought you to the understanding of who he was, he saved you under the calling to work with him and for him. Well, ain't that good? But he says, don't use the grace in vain. Let me say it this way, because that can get real confusing. And I love Wednesday night because we're going to preach it and teach it. What he's saying is, if you're saved, don't waste it. Not that you're going to lose. Don't waste it. Grace, let me go ahead and pray. Unmerited favor. We didn't even earn to be saved. We didn't do anything to be good enough. But now that we're saved, let me just break it down the way I want. Act like it. Act like it. It's important. Amen? I really can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit being in me, because I didn't have any want to before that, but now I have a want to. But guess what? I got to remind myself there is a wicked man on the inside and a spiritual man on the inside, and they're constantly warring against each other. Does anybody else have that war going on? Praise God for the war, because before we got saved, there was no war. Somebody said, how do you know you got saved? Man, my relationship to sin changed. I had a fight going. Man, I never had a fight. Man, I got up every day, and that one, the old man, won every day. That old man that I have now, I call him the old man. Praise God, he was the man. Every day, got his will. We're doing this, this, and this. And I would say it. I would try it. I'm going to try to go to church. I'm going to try to pray. I'm going to try to read the Bible. I'm going to try to do better. Utter failure. Until I met Jesus. And he saved me by his grace, filled me with his spirit, and called me for my purpose. Man, y'all see that? Whew. Man, I'm doing more preaching on the first two verses than I do on a normal Wednesday night. For he has said, I have heard thee. Now, man, we're going to really do some learning right here. Watch this. Put your thinking caps on. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Security means helped. Okay? What Jesus, he puts us in this remembrance of when you first got saved, okay? You got saved. So when you got saved, he's saying, on the day of your salvation, I sent help for you. Man, goodness gracious. Hey, can I go ahead and preach right here just the way I want to say this? On your worst day, when you didn't deserve it, I love preaching this. The gift of God shows up on the day that you least expect it or think you receive a gift from God. It's like nobody else. It's like nobody else. Everybody else goes, so-and-so's doing an amazing job. I'm going to give them a gift. You never go, man, this guy is killing. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. She drives my nerves. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm getting them a gift. I'm getting them a precious gift that they can't repay, and it costs me everything. I'm giving that to them tomorrow because they've cursed me, they've lied on me, they've cheated on me, they broke every one of my rules. They've treated me, they've rejected me, and praise God, tomorrow they're getting the best gift I got. You would never do that. But God does. God says, tomorrow, at about noontime, he's going to come to the understanding of who I am. And even though he's guilty of every one of my commandments, and he's rejected me and hated on me and used my name in vain, lied, cheated, stole, fornicated, he's going to call out to my name. And on that day, here comes the gift. Is there anybody in here remember the day you got the gift? Remember, it sounds something like, man, somebody was preaching, somebody was teaching, somebody was saying, and next thing you know, God brought you into conviction. Next thing you know, you find yourself in a place of prayer seeking the Lord out of repentance, and you're crying out to God, and you think it's your worst day, but it turns it into your best day. Anybody else have that experience? That was my worst day, best day. God, I'm guilty. I know you want to send me to hell. I deserve it. And God's like, keep it coming. This is where it gets good. Because I'm going to trade all of my righteousness for all of your sin. And we're going to be done. Done deal. That's good. Man, it's a good old Wednesday night. Man, goodness gracious. Well, I love this right here. So he helped you in that time. Verse 2, right? Watch this right. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wait a minute. I'm not saying everybody's mishandled that verse, but I'm going to say some people have used it a little out of context. Not in a bad way. Not that you would get up and go, what do you call that? You're using it totally heretical. You're a heretic. You wouldn't say that. You would say, yeah, today is the day of salvation. But what it's saying is, it's not talking to a lost person saying, hey, today is the day that you get saved. Okay, that's not what it's doing. It's saying this, remember I saved you? Do you remember the day that you needed saving and I saved you? And guess what? I helped you in that day. He said, guess what? Now is the day for other people's salvation. What I want you to do is I want you to act according to your salvation. And I want you to be an ambassador for me, because the day could be the day of salvation for other people. And I want you to plant and water, and I can give the increase, because people are going to see you. And today could be their day of salvation. Y'all see that? Is that nice? Are y'all seeing that handling right there, that word? Because I know for years people would say, today is the day of salvation. It's almost like the preacher or the Christian was talking to the lost person saying, it's time for you to get saved. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't walk out here and say, God, Kevin, he didn't like that. No, I like that's fine. And that's absolute truth. If you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. But the way this is laid out is, because I saved you, guess what? You need to behave in line with the Holy Spirit, because the day is the day of salvation for some others too. Amen? Boy, ain't that something. Because now we're going to shift gears in this lesson and this message, and we're all going to pretend. No, we're not. We all are a part of the ministry of God. Amen? Especially all of you sitting here tonight. Wednesday night is the core of the church. It's like this. You got a core, it's like a target. This is the core. Then you go out one layer, one circle. Guess what? That's a little bit bigger. That's probably your Sunday night crowd. And you get one more ring out. That's your Sunday morning crowd. Okay. Everybody's like, I don't like that. But hey, you're here on Wednesday, so guess what? You're the core. Pat yourself on the back. Do you understand? But what I'm saying is, when you make up the core, the backbone of the spine, you do the work. You're doing the work. Amen? So guess what? Right here, you take this on to yourself. I'm a minister for Christ. Amen. I'm supposed to be behaving as if it depends on me if other people are going to come to know Jesus Christ. True. True. Amen. This is a true, right? Watch this right. Verse 3. Giving no offense. Man, this is tough stuff. Y'all ready? This is not easy. I hope y'all let this sink in. I'm not going to preach to you tonight. This is so easy. You should be doing this no matter what. I'm telling you right now, this stuff right here I'm about to give you, I'm going to do better this year at it. Okay, because for the last 15, 17 years, I could do better. Amen? Y'all good? What? Let's jump into it. Watch this. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Let me say it. God, did y'all see that? Giving no offense in anything. Are we good? Can we have an altar call now? Has anybody gave any offense in anything since you've been saved? I have. But you know what? You got to put this mind. Wait a minute. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus has saved me. He saved me by His grace. And guess what? I can't just get offended at everything. I can't let everything push me all over the place like I'm a lost person. Amen? Listen, I'm as much preaching to myself right now as I am you. Man, when I look into this mirror, the Word of God, I don't see you. I see me. And I can't be preaching Jesus, preaching forgiveness, preaching the love of God, preaching to be on fire for God, but yet when one thing offends me, it just messes my whole course up, and I'm more focused on the offense than I am Jesus. And somebody runs into me and they talk to me and say, hey, how's it going, preacher? Let me tell you what this did. And I have talked for 2 hours about the offense and no time talking about Jesus. Do you see it now? Boy, and listen, if this was easy, Paul wouldn't have put it in the Bible. And when I read it, it wouldn't go, wow, woe is me. You can do two things during this message. You can say amen, or every once in a while I'll go, ooh, ooh. All right? Either one of them will work because they both work for me. Amen? Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. I know. I've heard this my whole time. And I've been minister. Don't pray for patience. Don't worry. You ain't got to pray for it. It's coming. It will be installed. It'll be downloaded. And you'll either get it, or guess what? I hate to tell you this, or you'll get the same test over and over and over again until you do pass it. God don't grade on a curve, and He don't care to keep you in remedial until till He comes back. And if you don't think that's true, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still in remedial classes on some things. And He's walking by, and He'll set the test down. Everybody else is taking another test. I'm taking. My goodness, it's the same person. I'm going to go ahead and be real with you. That's the same person. Different name. Same person. Yeah. What are you going to do different? What are you going to do different? Is your attitude going to be different? Is your prayer life going to be different? Are you going to treat your enemy better like you should treat yourself? Are you going to, instead of heaping coals of fire on their head, are you going to heap pray and prayers on this head? I better if I want to get out of this class. Because if it don't come through Ted, it's going to come through Bob. And if it ain't going through Bob, it's going to be Paul. If it ain't going to be Paul, it's going to be John. And it's going to be Tim. You're like, all right, finally it's a Jane, and it's worse than all of them. Sorry, I just threw that one in there. I wasn't trying to be weird. Did y'all get it, though? Good, good. Somebody will be at the end of the church. Why has Jane got to be the worst one? All right, Tim, her brother, was 10 times worse than him. Verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions. Afflictions. Afflictions are not like, that hurt me. Afflictions are like, just look up, afflicted means trouble. I mean, pain. I mean, like, you're sitting there going, man, I can't get out of this. This is bad, right? Guess what? In that. You have to shine the gospel through that. Man, that's tough. That is tougher than it's easy. It's easier to read than it is to live. In necessities, in distress is. Let me go back and do that again. In afflictions, in necessities, in distress is. Golly, bum. Did any of those strike anybody in here, that any of those things that you want to sign up for? Does any of that stuff, when you look at it, go, man, I can't wait to get that package? Matter of fact, if you listen to most preaching today in the world, you would think God only loves those people that have got it made. I mean, you would think that you get the most money, you get the best job, you get the best parking spot, you get everything, and that's how you measure whether God loves you or not. But it's quite the opposite. Here's a man that God loves a lot, lets him write 13 to 14 epistles of the New Testament, and he says, guess what? Shine for me through the distresses, through the necessities, through the pain, through the affliction. Love me in that. Show out in that. Whew. I'm telling you, man, this is, and I love people, I do, but there'll be some people go, man, don't, I got it. Man, I'm telling you, I do good. On some tests, I do good on certain things, but there are some, man, on the wrong day, at the right time, right? You'd wonder sometimes, is that old boy saved? Because he's mad as anybody else. Oh, goodness. I'm glad I'm talking to some spiritual folks tonight, because, man, just watch me play a game of basketball. Let me get hit the wrong way. I'll go up down the court two trips going, I'm going to hit that guy again. I'm going to hit him good, right? Never mind. Good. I can't even use a good sports analogy in here. Charlie knows ass Charlie. All right, let's go. Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Whew. This list is brutal. Do we deal with this stuff today in 2021? Man, are we the Christians, this Bible? I mean, we read the Bible and we go, man, I'm a Christian. But do you really go through this stuff and shine for Jesus? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. And I need to be better. I need to learn how to go through the hard things and realize that's when most people are paying attention to your life. They're not looking at you when you're getting your best life. They're not watching you when you got everything. They're watching you when your life should fall apart, and it don't for Jesus. A whole prison of people got saved because Paul and Silas at midnight said, let's sing about Jesus. Right? We've been beat for no reason. We've been cursed for no reason. We're just here to share the good news. We've set people free. We set the bondages of a little demonic pressed woman. We set her free, and we're in prison for it. Man, we shouldn't be here. And instead of that, you got to have the mindset. You might want to write this one down. You might have the mindset that no matter where God puts you, that's where you're supposed to minister from. Sometimes we think, man, I'm down here and I shouldn't be here. And you're thinking, man, maybe just by some crazy how God is maybe in control of the stars, the moon, the universe, the seasons and everything he makes. And he's put you in that little spot for that time because guess what? You're it. You're it at that time. You're the person that's suffering and going through it. And when somebody sits down beside you, they go, how are you doing this? You go, man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't even be sitting here right now. There's some of you still in this church. It ain't nothing but by the grace of God. I know some of your stories. You're sitting here, and I'm like, my jaw falls open when some people come to the house of God. I'm sitting here looking at them going, I can't believe they're here. They should have been anywhere else. They could have been mad or upset. But instead, they might not have the same cheery disposition. They might not have that joy unspeakable busting out of them. But praise God, when the storm is waging and raging in their lives, they're here. They're here. My God. That's Jesus. That's what he wants from us. That's what he needs from us. Fastings, let me go ahead. I shouldn't do this. Not in a quasi-Baptist church. And you say, what do you mean quasi? We don't have no title on our church sign, thank God. Some people ask me, what kind of church is that? One, it believes in Jesus. We got a lot of liberty and freedom. You should try it. It's awesome. Here, look, it's right here. Fasting. We make a big deal. It's, well, I don't know about that fasting stuff. I don't know. Where's that from? Is that from the Lord or from the devil? It's Jesus. And can I give you a little simple way of trying to fast sometimes? Take your meal. Just pick one because we eat many. Just pick one. Say, I'm not going to eat this day at this time. Don't make a big deal about it. Go somewhere. And during that time that you would be eating and feeding your flesh, you talk to Jesus about your biggest problems, your biggest pains, your biggest situations, and just talk to him. What you say, what you're talking to Jesus about, you say, Jesus, I love you more than my necessary food. And I want to take this time, instead of feeding my flesh, I want to talk to you about things. And you say, is that magic? Does that work magic with God? No, but let me tell you something. How would it work with you, with your kids who would say, hey, Daddy, God, I'm about to lose my mind right here. If your kids would come to you and take away from something they absolutely love the most and set it aside and say, I don't want to do that. I want to spend time with you. I guarantee you, I know what you'd do. With all your power, with all your resources, with all the things that you have in your life, you would say, you know what? Your life just changed for about 2 or 3 hours. Let your kids walk in. Well, what are you doing? Well, instead of shopping today, instead of going down here and doing this, instead of hanging out with my friends, instead of hunting, instead of fishing, instead of this, Dad, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you and I love you. And I just want, Mom, I just want to tell you that I love you. And is there anything I can do for you? I mean, you'd be out there trying to, where's the checkbook at? I mean, do we have any cash on hand? How can we bless this child? Even if they, I'm being honest. That's and if you're doing, we're just putting edges. We're just letting God know, hey, we're serious. I'm serious right now. And you know what? Some of you say, well, I couldn't fast more than one meal. You know what would be funny? If you did that and you see the results, next thing you know, it might be a, you say, wait a minute, if that, maybe the next meal. Maybe tomorrow at 12, I won't eat lunch. I'll just talk to Jesus. And I ain't trying to put you in any kind of jeopardy in your physical health or nothing like that. I'm just talking, hey, if God put it in his book and he said it through fastings, maybe it's an operation we need to try. Whew, man, that'd get us in trouble. Next thing you know, what kind of church are you? We're just one that tries to use all the resources and everything that's available to us in the Word of God. Verse 6, by pureness, amen? That means being pure. By knowledge, that means getting in the book and deciphering the word, reading it in context, knowing what it means and applying it rightly. By long suffering, that means you don't, golly, bum, I could preach 10,000 messages on that right there. Go through some stuff with God and with the church and with the ministry and what you've been called to do. Go through it. Long suffering, that means you don't just, I'm going home. Yeah, do that for a while and I'll buy me another ball. Amen. I'm going to take my ball and go home. Praise God, keep your ball at the house. We got one. It may not be as good as your ball. It might not be as bouncy as yours, but praise God, we got us one. And we'll make do with it. Amen. Goodness, just hang in there. Like a pit bull and a pork chop sometimes. Just say, I ain't going to go nowhere. Not until God says to. Amen. Now, if God tells you tomorrow to get up, pull tent stakes and move somewhere else, go! But if he don't say it, stay. Put some roots down. Man, if you run from every fight, everything you get into, praise God, next thing you know, you'll get somewhere and you'll be all by yourself in a little old house, you and some other weirdo trying to break out the Word of God, trying to figure out what y'all think it says, won't know, do more damage to each other than anybody else. Man, that's good preaching. I'll amen myself on that one. I've tried that stuff before. Where are we at on the fastings? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. Well, we could all use some of that. Amen? By the Holy Ghost. Don't do anything in yourself. Be led by the Spirit of God. By love unfeigned. Man, just take verse 6 and just make that your New Year's list. We're going to do more of that. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be a kindness. Be in love unfeigned. By the Word of truth. Live by the Bible. You know what I hate more than anything else? I'm going to tell you everything I know. What I hate more than anything else is people say, it's what my preacher always said. It's what my preacher, I don't care what your preacher said. Praise God, get in the book and figure it out yourself. If he preaches it, go back and read it, study it, apply it, and go, all right, there it is. I understand that for myself. I've got people say, well, my preacher said, don't it? Well, praise God. I heard this 20 years ago, my preacher said, well, good. Is it real? Is it true? Amen? If it is, go with it. If it ain't, don't. Oh, man, that gets you in trouble. By the power of God and by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor. Boy, these are good. By evil report and good report. No matter if they talk good about you or they talk bad about you, just do for Jesus. As deceivers and yet true. People are going to call you crazy. They're going to say you're doing it for all kinds of reasons. If you're doing it for Jesus, just keep on doing it. As unknown yet well known, praise God, and if you're in the back of the woods of nowhere, nobody knows you, that's fine. And if everybody knows you, that's fine. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, not killed. Praise God. I love what Paul says there. As we're dying, everybody else is going to be like, they're going under, they're dying again. Praise God. He said, we're going to live, and we're going to live forever. Whew. I'm trying to get somewhere. I know. We're almost there. As chastened and not killed. Amen. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Amen. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You're just broken over broken stuff, but yet you're rejoiceful because you're getting baptized in your tears, broken over somebody else's sin, broken over their salvation, their situation, whether they're saved or not, broken over their condition of life. You know, I look at certain situations and somebody says, are you mad at so-and-so because they've done this around the church or in the church? No, my heart's broke for them because I want the best for them. Amen. My heart's busted for them because I know where this is going. Amen. I don't get upset when somebody starts down the wrong path in sin. I look at it and go, "That I know where that path goes. There's no other end. That's a death path. They need to turn around as soon as possible. What would you do if they came back to the church? Come on in. Sit on down. Eat. Be welcome. Change. Let God work on you and be willing to change. Whew, good Lord. Whew, chastened, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. A poor, yet making many rich. And having nothing, yet possessing all things. Hallelujah. There, verse 11 and 12, and I'll be done, I promise. No, we got to go to 14, so I'll read, though. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. What it's saying is, we're speaking, but our heart, it's coming from our heart. We love you. We want people to know about Jesus Christ. See, guess what? Out of our mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. We need to love Jesus so much that comes out of us that we love them, that they know it. I want people to say about me, I don't really like him, I don't have no fit, but I can tell he has a heart for us. That's what you should. Your ministry should be like. I really don't like that guy because he's a Christian. I don't really like that girl because she's a Christian, but their heart's for us. I can tell she cares. I can hear he cares, right? What's this? You are not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. It means you're in trouble because of what's going on in your life. It's not because of us. We are not the trouble, even though we seem like it. Now for our recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Here's my favorite part. And so here's my reference back to Genesis. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And I say this to do this tonight. This is one of the biggest points in this. The unequally yoked part, the church has been preaching it right for a long, long time. But I want to add a little bit to it. I want to say it this way. If you are God's child, don't get hooked up in a relationship of any kind with somebody else who is not a child of God if it's going to be causing you to be pulled back into the old ways of this world for you. Because it will be detrimental to them and it will also be detrimental to your ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not get hooked up with somebody in this world in a relationship, dating, in marriage or in engagement or in business or in wherever that all of a sudden you're starting to do stuff like they are. They should be, if you're doing this right, they should be converting and repenting and drawing to Christ. You shouldn't be pulling with them in the wrong direction. We're going to embezzle money. We're going to lie. We're going to cheat. We're going to do. You should be the one going, no, I got to get unhooked from this. I can't. That's not able, right? We're not able to do this. I get criticized a lot, and I should. I'm not a great pastor. And don't try to convince me of that. I'm still learning. I'm on the job training. I've got a lot of areas that I've got to correct. I've got a lot of areas that I've got to get better at. And I'm working on it year after year after year. I'm trying to do my very best. I am. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to take the grace of God lightly. And I have made up my mind. I might not be everywhere everybody wants me to be. I might say everything I need to say. I might not treat everybody the way I need to. But you know what you ain't going to hear me doing? I ain't going to embezzle no money. And I ain't cheating on my wife. And I ain't hurting no kids. Amen? And if you ever find out, say, well, hey, where's Kevin at? Where's he? Is he at Flat Top Church? Well, he ain't up there. Where's he at now? What is he out doing now? He's out serving God somewhere. Or he's in heaven. That's it. That's the only two options. I'm either going to be here preaching, working on my mistakes and my failures and my shortcomings, and helping you work on yours, or I'm going to be in heaven, or I'm going to be somewhere serving God. Amen? That's it. There was this man named Lot. He was going with his uncle Abraham. He had been raised around Abraham, who was a faithful man of God. And one day, he split off and went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, we think one thing, one thing only. Wicked, perverse, sexual nation. But you know what I think? I think a man of God went down there and got unequally yoked with a bunch of people. And instead of pulling them to God, they pulled him into wickedness. And they couldn't find 50, 40, 45, 30, 35, 20, 25, 10 righteous people because a man of God sat down there with a whole bunch of people and lived like they lived. And when God came to judge them, the only people that got out was him and his two daughters. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. The Lord is coming back. And we do know that. How many people are we going to be able to say, we helped them get to heaven to find Jesus Christ? Because I've got a thing that God dropped in my spirit, and you might not like this. It's hurt me when God put it in my spirit. This is a spiritual thing. But he said, I'll guarantee you this. In 2019, 2020, and 2021, there were more people that got saved on ventilators than they did in churches. And shame on us. Because there were people got into a situation in their life, they finally had to look up to God. There was no way out. And I guarantee there's a bunch of people going to be in heaven. They're going to say, well, COVID was the worst thing that ever happened. He said, no. It was probably the best thing that happened because it put me in a place that I couldn't look to anybody else but God, and I found him. My mama couldn't come. My daddy couldn't come. The pastor couldn't come. My friends couldn't come. But there was one man who walks the halls of every jailhouse, hospital, funeral home, and anywhere else, and that's Jesus himself. And when nobody else will go, he will send his spirit. Amen? Let's all stand. Whew.